This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, geta to our PNG listeners, and hello to everyone. Welcome to Neesh and Footy, the go-to place for all our Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and my usual co-e, Tinida Arona, is away again, and he will be for the next few Mondays. So alongside me, you might know who he is, might know him better as the professor, the prof, Joseph Paulo. He's filled in today on the Monday show. Hey, it's great to have you in, Seth. Thanks for joining us. We're so used to hearing you on your questions on the Fridays for Professor Paulo.
Nah, thanks for having me, Sam. It's been a while. I've seen you had a few good late recruits come in, like Toops and Will Hopewadi, two of the greats. So, I know T's on a work trip, but must be different for you, seeing that you've had about 2 months off from work trips.
Mate, come on. You can't say off and then work in the same thing. I've been away working.
Yep, that's true.
It's great to have you on. We've had Will Hopewadi on last week. We'll have you on again, and we'll filter through some of our amazing talent to give us the inside. So we're going to start with our show, obviously jam-packed with NRL. Not long to go, Seth. 6 rounds, I think, to go before finals.
Yep, footy. Exciting time for
absolutely.
The NRL.
Absolutely, yep. And we have Shelley Long. She's going to be on with the Long Story Short with the NRLW news. Some new signings there, so we can't wait for that. And our special guest this week, it is Patrick Pellegrini.
Ooh, someone very close. Is very that Pellegrino Water or, or someone close to the family?
Very Tongan name, that one.
Yes.
But...
Prego.
Listen for that chat because there is a fun fact in there. I'll wait for you to listen to figure that out. But, hey, big show planned. Let's rip in.
Let's go.
Moment of the week.
As always, we start with our moment of the week. And this week we're going to share it, actually. Nice and quick. I just want to give a big shout out to the Queensland Reds for sending their men's and women's team over to Tonga to play against the Ikaletahi, the men's team, and the Lofa 15, the women's team. It was a doubleheader played over at Delfeva Stadium. We'll cover a little bit more of that in our rugby chat, but I just want to, absolutely amazing that there's more games being played over in the motherland, and super rugby teams, professional teams, other countries are heading over there to give some more exposure for the fans and families to watch their stars out there at such an iconic stadium in Tonga with Delfeva.
Yeah, awesome. Special shout out again to the Reds. It takes a lot of obviously initiative, fundraising, and a lot of support from their corporates and their sponsors. So shout out to them. And for me, my moment of the week is just the Olympics, the excitement.
How good.
And even on our ABC radio, you can follow all the coverage there on the radio. And they have a link there to showcase all our athletes who are performing from the Pacific. So that's exciting. So if you want to know which country is actually performing, from Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, they've put up every athlete and what event and what time. So don't miss it.
Outstanding work. So that's our moments of the week. Let's get over to the NRL news.
Malo lele, koko ingoa, tana pulata, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy on ABC Australia.
Yes, the NRL. But before I talk about the results, I have just breaking news. Stefano Utokamanu has decided that he'll be leaving the West Tigers at the end of this year. Wow.
Oh, that's a big
As
blow.
A Tigers fan, which I'm sorry, that would hurt to hear that this morning, that he'd be leaving at the end of the year.
Mate, so hang on. It's they haven't
he hasn't announced where he's going.
It's okay, so just leaving.
Apparently through the media outlets, it's between the Bulldogs and Melbourne Storm.
What a huge blow knowing that still Jerome Luai is coming over and Sonia Taruva. He's still going.
Yeah, it's a shame for the Tigers, but you know, all the best to him. It's always a hard decision, as you know.
Do what's best for you at the end of the day.
But exciting time for the Roosters and Tongan Matemaa Daniel Tupou is extended for another 2 years. He's up to about 250 NRL games.
How old is Nella?
He'd be about
couple of years younger than us.
3 years younger than us, surely. He was coming through as a para junior and obviously made the move to the Roosters, but he's been one of the most consistent players as a winger in the last 10 years. So it's credit to him and reward for his hard work. But from this week's games, we had a lot of interesting results, but I'm going to be talking about the first time Super Saturday jam-pack action NRLW with a double header and the triple header with the men's games. And we're going to start in Suncorp. Wow. Bulldogs went up there. They play when the Broncos are on. They're like the Globetrotters. They're so fun to watch. They got stars. Their backline. Contoni Staggs actually scored a magnificent try. Individual brilliance. But without their captain, Stephen Crichton, on the weekend, they proved they can win games. And they slowed down the Broncos, who were in form from last week.
I tipped the Broncos, Seth. I just thought,
oh,
up there in Brisbane.
In front
of their ground. They're playing for Suncorp. They're playing for their season. No Stephen Crichton. I just thought, surely.
But no. The Bulldogs were unbelievable. They were victorious 41-16. And a great try to Samoa and Jarrell Skelton. But I must say, I was very shocked to see the Broncos just not at that level at this time of the year. You know, you're playing in front of a full house. You need to win every match. So it looks like they might not even be making the top eight. But hey, well done and congrats to Marty Tapel on 250 NRL games. Original strongman who took powerlifting to another level in the NRL, but has always just been a very feared front rower. I don't know if you remember his battle with Sawia Matangi, Parramatta versus Manly from the back fence, just charging at each other. But it was so good to see him play his 250 match and score the last try. Celebrating with a bow and arrow, Marty Tapel styles. But my other match was the Cowboys versus the Sharks. And the Cows came out on top. A great victory. And exciting to see ex-Sharky and Cook Island, Valentine Holmes, find his winger in his preferred position as he played center and set up Murray Toalangi on the wing. And then it was a funny game, this. We had tries from Toalangi, and then we went to the Sharks. Renato Mulitalo scored the next try, and then we went back to the Cowboys. Jeremiah Nanai, Samoan Heritage, scores the next try. And then Cronulla Sharks, Cook Island, and one of your favourite guests on this show, Kale Errol, scored a try. So it was awesome to see the Pacific just on show, showcasing all our skills, all our talent. And obviously seeing them in the tries. But shout out to Kale Errol, who re-signed with the Sharks for another 2 more years.
He's killing it in the centres there. Kale, yeah, we had him on the show not that long ago, so go back and have a listen to our chats. Remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia, and we're heading over to the New South Wales Jersey Fleg. There was a full bye this week, so no games. So I don't know who wrote this in the script, but this, I'm telling you now, it wasn't me, but no loss for the Kasviti Silktails. Wow. I've always got love for the Silktails.
Vinaka level, huh?
Yeah, Vinaka level. Set, boys. Enjoy the carver. Rest up,
recharge.
And then, get ready for this week. And then the Queensland Cup, we have PNG Hunters. They too had the bye. They are 6 on the ladder. And hopefully they can make a run to the finals as well, PNG Hunters.
For sure.
That's all in rugby league, Seth.
Yep, off to rugby union, Sam.
All right, let's head over to rugby union. Firstly, we spoke about the sevens, the Olympics, and one of the sports featured heavy in the Olympics was the rugby sevens. So we're going to start there with our chat. We're going to wrap up the men's rugby sevens at the Paris Olympic Games. And for the sport of rugby union as a whole, I thought it was a huge statement with the fact that it was the chosen sport to open up the Olympics. You know, it opened up before the opening ceremony. And to have just under 70,000 fans each day, it was, like to me, it just reinforced the status of rugby union as a global sport. Like, you know, we think about, you know, when we invest in our pathway systems, especially in the Pacific, and we look at things on a global level, like rugby has to be high on the priority list. And we saw two of our tiny islands, Samoa entering their very first Olympic campaign for sevens, and Fiji as well, who were, you know, two-time gold medalists. Those two tiny islands are representing the whole Pacific, with Fiji winning silver That takes them to winning two gold medals and a silver medal. Like you think about like Jerry Tuohy, he comes back, he's up there in the conversations of your Michael Jordans, you know, Messi, a few of those names in team sports that have won those type of medals. So you think about just how small our islands are and sort of the lack of resources coming from humble beginnings. It's quite remarkable that our tiny islands compete with the biggest, you know, countries in the world, Steph. Would you agree with that?
For sure. Well, you'd think, like, obviously France had the gold medal, but you'd probably look at their training camp leading into these Olympics compared to what Fiji's training camp and their resources and facilities. And there's a reason why France opened up the Olympics with rugby. Like, they're rugby mad. Like, they love it. Like, they live and breathe it.
Like you lived over there for a long time. Like what is rugby like over in France, and how many of our Pacifica stars are actually over there?
It's unbelievable to just sort of witness and feel the atmosphere. Like I was in a town in Perpignan, and that was a local team, USAP. They'd get about 16, 17,000, but it felt like there was 40,000. And they're singing, they're living it up, they love their rugby, they're all into it, and it's just like, over the whole country. Like you'd think in a country like France that's more football, but rugby union is their number one sport. And like you see, one of their own, Antoine Dupont, who sort of made that transition from the 15s to the 7s, mate, they live and breathe it. And I'm sure they're still celebrating that gold medal, which is a shame to Fiji.
You're not wrong. You're right. As in, you know, France were eventual winners in the gold medal, Fiji with the with the silver. And when you think about Fiji's run into the Olympics, it wasn't the best lead up. You know, I don't think they won an actual World Series tournament leading into that. And, you know, 3 months out from the Olympics, you know, Ben Gollings, ex-Sevens player, he was sacked. They bring in Sevens legend Colin Issau, who's, you know, he's won a gold medal before with Fiji. They also bring in Celestino Ravutamanda and Josefo Masi from the Fijian Drua, who had no sevens tournaments under their belt, you know, leading into the Olympics. Jerry Tuohy wasn't even a part of, we mentioned him, but he wasn't even a part of Ben Gollin's plans. And in the Colin Issau makes him, yeah, he wasn't part of
what?
It. He was left out of a lot of tournaments. Colin Issau brings him back, makes him captain for the Olympics, and they just go on a run. And I just thought, you know, I know they fell short in the final, and they ended up losing 28-7. But you know, to have two gold medals and a silver medal next to their national sport, it's a huge achievement, and it should be well celebrated. You know, for the Pacific, and as I said, there should be more investment, you know, going to rugby union to be able to compete on those global stages at every single tournament. We saw Samoa. We mentioned they were in their first ever Olympics for sevens. They lost to Kenya 10-5 to finish 10th overall. And it might be disappointing from a results point of view, but what a statement for Samoa to, again, to be able to represent their family and their culture on that type of level.
Yeah.
I love seeing that. Love the Olympics. The women's are kicking off their sevens campaign, and Shelley Long will have all the news, especially from Fiji, in the women's. But we're crossing over to 15-a-side game. The Queensland Reds travelled over to Tonga with their men's and women's teams to play a doubleheader against Tonga, the Ikaletahi men's and the Lofa 15 women's. Wet conditions over in the kingdom with the Reds winning both games, 41-14 for the men's and 65-0 in the women's game. You know, for Tonga, for the men's, oh, that's their last hit out before the Pacific Nations Cup, which starts on the 23rd of August. So we get a bit of an insight every Friday from Big Kefu.
Big Kef.
Big Dota Kefu.
Rumi.
Rumi. Yeah, you roomed with him. But he'll be on this Friday again to give us a bit more of a analysis on the other teams.
Yep.
All right, Seth, that's all we have for rugby news. With no test matches this week, it'll ramp up again in a couple of weeks' time. Do you have something for me?
Oof.
You're looking at me like you have something for me.
Oh, I played with this guy. I don't know if it's true. It hasn't come from his mouth, but the word on the...
We're here to not start rumors.
Yes,
it's all
we're not.
Allegations.
But I'm hearing the great Fijian flyer.
Who?
Sammy Radradra.
No.
That's the whispers I'm hearing after Artie Sevilla's noose. I don't know where I heard it, to be honest. Oh, I was like,
hey, Seth.
If that's breaking, you've heard it here first. Go into the villages and ask your cousins. Is this true?
Oh, my God.
Are we going to see another big, big signing?
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that face, Sam.
I am blown away.
You're in the rugby union heartlands and you don't even know this stuff. Hey, mate,
don't worry about me and my news. I've broken a few on here.
What, family?
Where I shouldn't have. But, hey, that's huge. If that comes to fruition, yeah, we're going to get him on.
You heard
and
it
you're
going to
help. You're going to help me get him, and you heard it here first. That's outstanding news. That's all of our rugby news. Let's get over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Well, now we have NRLW superstar PNG Orchid and North Queensland Cowboy Shelley Long. Welcome.
Hey, guys. So good to be back on.
What's happening, Shelley?
Not much. It's been a good week. The sun's out. Oof. New week, new round of the NRLW. So super excited.
Yeah, NRLW did kick off. And,
this week, eh? Yeah. First week of NRLW. How did you see the matches this week?
Oh, from my lounge room, unfortunately. didn't get selected this week, but last week, but... incredible type of footy, and I'm really excited to deep dive into all the games.
Shelley, I had a conversation with Sam before the show. Like, you always want to be in the team for round one. Like, obviously, you have a long preseason, you work your butt off. But as I've found out in the past, really, it's not how the plane takes off, but it's how the plane lands. So hopefully you'll be
stop
there.
Stop that.
but how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Like, I know how hard it is, but how are you feeling, obviously, with the disappointment for round one, but hoping to see you there at the end?
Oh, I think, you know, the coaches always have to do what's best for the team. And at the moment, that's picking that 17 and 18 players that I'm not included in. But I'll work hard. I'll keep working hard. It's been a great week, you know, obviously having to do top-ups of off-feet con and conditioning outside of that. I actually enjoy that. And I think that builds a better bond with those girls that aren't playing as well. So, you know, the bond grows with when you're playing on the field, but also when you're in that outside of that top 18 for that week, that bond definitely grows when you're having to run a lot of con together.
Love your positive attitude, like building those connections on and off the field.
So. Yeah, that's one thing that I've noticed from Shelley this whole time she's been on Asian footy is the fact that she's so positive, and whatever comes her way, positional changes, being in the team, not being in the team, losing against her partner sometimes in the comes on with a smile and just always ready to rip in. But Shelley, you know, with the conversations that you had with your head coach, what was it specifically why he thought you probably wouldn't be in the team this week, or was it just the fact that it was more of a gut feeling, just went a different way?
Oh, no, I think we've got a lot of strong players who can play multiple positions, just like myself. And I think that's a very strong advantage that you have in the team and very hard for a coach. Like, I'm glad I'm not in his position with having to pick the side. But in saying that, I think there's definitely, when you're moving into a new position, definitely a lot of work-ons that you can do to improve on. And I think it's just... touching up a little bit of my skill and a little bit of my confidence in the new role. So I look forward to building on that, and I definitely think that, you know, as the weeks progress, that will definitely happen.
Outstanding. Yeah, absolutely. It's going to happen. And then, hey, off the back of a loss, sometimes your chances increase because there could be changes. But you want your team to win.
So you always want to win. You always want to win.
So let's go through. We'll start off with the Cowboys versus the Sharkies. Can you talk us through that game?
Yeah, so 14-0 to Cronulla Sharks. It was a very cold game, raining down in Cronulla. I think the feel for the weather was about 7 degrees. So, you know, the weather here is beautiful. It's nice and sunny. It's probably like 23. Sometimes it's getting a little bit higher. So that weather condition really does take a little bit of a toll. But in saying that, I'm very proud of our girls, and I think Cronulla is definitely a very strong team. They showed that early in last season's NRLW, but also in their trial match against the Sydney Roosters where they actually drew. So they're a strong contender in this season, and to have in the second half no tries conceded for either team, I think that shows this type of footy that was played, a very high-quality game.
I'm coming from Newcastle, Shelley, so they're obviously the defending champions. Do you see any other team that sort of will be contending for that title this year as they're back-to-back champions?
From this week's game, sorry. I definitely think so. I think after watching the performances from all the teams, I think Cronulla Sharks is definitely one to be up there with them. And I think Parramatta Eels, you know, they had Broncos first up. We know how hard Broncos are and how tough they are. And, you know, they were at the top of the NRLW for so long and they ended up winning. So I think, you know, Cronulla Sharks and Parramatta Eels are definitely top contenders with that Newcastle Knights team.
You mentioned the Canberra Raiders as well, Shelley. You said that they look dangerous, and they obviously showed that on the weekend with a convincing score and victory against the West Tigers. Are they still up there in your book to be able to, you know, from what they've shown?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that they're a hard, gritty team. And, you know, West Tigers actually won all the stats, or pretty much the majority of the stats in that game. So for Canberra Raiders to have actually won the game shows the type of grit that they have. And I think when you've got a powerhouse forward and a leader like Samima Taufa in that team, she'll definitely help steer in the right direction.
Yeah,
nice. Steer the team in the right direction.
And what, was there any positives that you took away from this week's games and NRLW? Something that really stood out for you watching over the weekend?
I definitely think that all teams just have that little bit more that they can bring to the games. But it's obviously round one. So, you know, they're going to start off a little bit slower. They're going to probably hide a few secrets that they've got in their back pockets, which generally come out as the weeks go on. So I'm excited to see those things. And I definitely think that the quality of football has improved a lot, especially from last year. You know, a lot of teams played and the points were kind of towards that 30 or 40 point mark, whereas now it's very tight and close games.
Yeah. With a pretty short competition, it's almost like a sprint. How important is it to get off to a quality start in these first opening rounds?
Extremely important. But in saying that, Parramatta Eels a few years ago managed to do what no other team has ever done. So they were meant to get kicked out of the semi-finals, weren't meant to make it. Sydney Roosters lost, and then Parramatta Eels came back up into the semi-finals. So in saying that, you know, every game matters, but there is always the possibility that things can go a certain way.
Well, I don't know if you've tuned into the Olympics this morning, Shelley, but we had the start of the rugby sevens for the women's. Was there any matches that you watched this morning that really caught your eye?
I watched a few of the other sports, but unfortunately wasn't able to get around to watching the sevens. In saying that, though, Australia, when I woke up, the first thing I did was look at how they went, and they were incredible. They scored 70 points across their first two games. That's sensational. Like, to go into an Olympic pool and dominate like they've done so far. That's incredible, and I'm excited to see them versus Ireland at 10:30 tonight. I'll be awake for that game.
I might join you tonight.
Yeah, they are red-hot favourites. They're continuing their form from their world circuit campaign that they had throughout the year. Fiji, though, a bit of a disappointing start for them going down to both Canada and China. But obviously, there's still some more games to go to. Hopefully, they can improve.
Yes. Well, they do have New Zealand later tonight, which will always be a tough game for them. But I think, you know, they got to take a bit of confidence out of that Canada game. It was pretty close, 14 points to 17. So hopefully, they reset to their night now. So for tomorrow, they're ready to go against New Zealand.
There's actually a New Zealand Black Ferns player from the Sevens is going to go
to NRLW.
And we've seen that crossover a fair few times. So yeah. I guess the experience, Shelley, on that, have you experienced the endurance and the athleticism of sevens compared to, the game of rugby league?
Oh, 100%. Last year we saw it. Avania Polite is a great example of a sevens player coming over into the rugby league world and absolutely dominating. They're physical, they've got the speed, they've got the agility, and I think it's definitely something that NRLW clubs want. We've seen quite a few signings actually of clubs signing current Olympians who, once the Olympic campaign is finished, will come over and play NRLW. So I definitely think that transition is there. So that fitness, all their skills, you know, they're amazing athletes. You just want them. And I think all their skills are something that any club would be grateful to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, we forgot to mention some signings. Do you have any NRLW signings, since we're talking about some of the ones crossing over from Union? But are there any other NRLW signings that you know of?
Yeah, so proud Tongan Pauline Suliraka has officially signed with the Bulldogs. She is the first local to be signed to the club. So she's been locally developed by the Bulldogs. And crazy fun fact that Sam actually mentioned to me earlier, she's still in high school. So incredible to be signed in the top 24 while you're still in high school. That's an incredible achievement, and I'm looking I'm looking forward to seeing her in the NRLW.
Yeah, she's a Westfield Sports high product. Westfield. Yeah, she's a machine. She was part of our like in the Pacific Youth Cup that we hold at the November.
Yeah.
She was part of the Tongan the sevens team, and then with the when it went to tens. So absolute freak of an athlete. So again,
what position does she play?
Oh, she'll probably play in either. She was roaming a bit because in sevens and she was the way she carries the footy. I think she could play anywhere, but in league, I'm not too sure what position she'll play, because once I found out she was going to league, I was like, I'm done.
Oh,
I'm done. No, I'm joking.
She's seen the light.
Yeah, she's seen the light. But no, she's a great player. And obviously, that's for next year when the Bulldogs come in. Is that right, Shelley?
Yes, that's correct. But with her heritage being now known, there's a potential Tongan play at the end of the year. So she might spend a pick up there. So some exciting, potentially good news.
Man, there's some freaks coming through in the women's game. Like young. We saw Aaliyah Nasio make her debut for the Roosters. And she's only 18. Obviously, the another one we just mentioned, and then Shalom Sayoso, she's not even allowed to play NRLW because she's still too young. But she's obviously with the Broncos. There's some phenomenal talent coming through the pathways, and it's just going to only increase. The
more teams,
exactly.
Expansion. But like you said, pathways, how exciting for all these girls.
Yeah,
to not
pathways.
Only watch their stars in the NRLW, but have a pathway, an academy that can actually progress to the next level.
Yeah, no, not wrong, Seth. Hey, what have we got else in rugby union? I know we touched on it brief with the sevens, but any other rugby union news?
Yes, Sam, I've got one more of your favourite. For the first time in history, the Queensland Reds women's travelled over to Tonga to verse the Lofa Tonga, an incredible moment for women's rugby union, especially in Tonga. So I was really impressed with Lofa Tonga's defensive efforts in the first half, with the Reds only leading 15 points to nil. So unfortunately, a player did go down in that first half, but it was Lofa Tonga's efforts to scramble defensively. So I think that's incredible. However, whilst they showed a lot of heart, the Queensland Reds were clinical, and with the added experience demonstrated why they are a force to be reckoned with, especially after scoring 50 points in 40 minutes in the second half. But it was Papua New Guinea woman and Queensland Reds winger Avania Wong who became all-time women's capped leader.
Ooh,
so
wow.
Incredible, incredible moment for
her. Don't say how many caps she's got, because it's part of my niche knowledge questions for Seth as a multiple choice. So
name? I'm just
so don't
Avania
say
Wong. I know.
But an incredible moment for her, but also I think an incredible moment for the Pacific Islands in general. Having someone like her be able to do something like that, and then having Tonga be able to play in their home country is incredible. Unfortunately, though, Avania was taken to hospital after that game with an ankle injury, so we do wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah, hopefully the Tongan doctors looked after her well there.
What special oil leaves they use over there, eh? There's a spiritual leave there.
Oh, there's something there.
It says 8 weeks, but I'll show you 2 weeks.
Show you
He'll
two.
Be back in 2 weeks.
He could be out for 2 years. You never know what happens.
Don't say that. Sam, you need to call a doctor over there.
Oh, I'll sort her out. Nah, she'll be looked after well over there. That's for sure. Hey, any other news before we go, Shelley?
That's it today for me. But There's a, actually, there's a couple of games that I definitely recommend watching in the NRLW. So the Raiders versus the Knights, that will be a great game on Saturday at 11, and the Eels versus Cronulla in Sydney Sunday at 12 p.m. So if you can get down to those two games, I think they'll be nail biters, and definitely recommend trying to get there if you can.
Awesome work, Shelley. Thank you so much. We love having you on every Monday, and hopefully we get to see your name in the team list. But if not, Seth, what was it?
Shelley, take off like a plane. It's not how the plane takes off. It's how the plane lands.
And on that note, let's end it right there. Thank you so much, Shelley.
Thank
appreciate
you, Shelley.
It.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shelley Long. As always, she's been outstanding. Hope she gets to play this weekend in round two. Now we are going to head over to interview my cousin, Patrick Pellegrini. We pre-recorded this last week with T, just because he could be going somewhere as well, Seth.
Okay.
If you're picking up what I'm putting down, he could be going somewhere else. But anyway, let's head over to Patrick Pellegrini. Quick one, T, between us, how many cousins have we interviewed on here, you think?
I've had Leams, Toops.
Who have I had? Alana, someone else.
Sekimedia.
Sekimedia. We've had a fair few on here.
Cousins of cousins.
That's it. We just keep we keep rolling out the family tree.
Sorry, I forgot Payne Huss.
He's not your family. Get out of it. But I thought I'd go back to the family tree and pick out another one of my cousins.
Finally.
No, it's not Isaiah. It's not Isaiah Katoa. He'll be soon. But just as good this fella. He went from playing on a cow paddock for a local rugby club called Seven Oaks in England in 2021 to playing at the 2023 Rugby World Cup for Tonga, scoring one of the tries of the tournament against eventual champions, South Africa. With his very traditional Tongan name, let's welcome to the show Patrick Pellegrini, Tunisian footy. Paddy, thanks for joining us, bro.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
That's
it. Did you say Pellegrini?
Yeah.
Tongan name?
Yeah, Pellegrini.
Pellegrini. Hey. Surely you get asked a fair bit about the last name and if it's a Tongan name, or are you Tongan?
Yeah, all the time, bro. All the time.
Well, explain to everyone, how are we related?
So my mum and Sammy's mum are sisters. So, yeah, both born in Tonga, so. Me and Sammy, first cousins.
Did Sammy say in the intro you played a bit of park footy in England?
Yeah, it's Nat 3, I think. So like level 4 or 5 in England before I went to Cov.
Talk us about that journey. How did you end up there?
So I was at West Harbour, and it was during COVID. So like that season got sacked halfway through. Manager was just like, oh, you want to go give England a crack? I was like, yeah, sweet. So it was like their season already started. They were playing rugby still. So I was like, yeah, I just want to play footy. So went over there and joined them like just after the start of the season. And it's good fun though, to be fair.
What was that thought process? I'm only asking because I spent 7 years in England and I know what the culture's like over there. A lot of good times when it comes to some park footy. But what was the thought process from leaving Sydney to making your move to England? Was it for the experience, or were you looking for an opportunity to further your rugby union career? What was your thought process there?
I think it was a bit of both. I think at the time, like, it didn't look like rugby in Oz was going anywhere with the COVID. So they were still playing over there. I just wanted to get on the field. Also they said if you play good at that level, like you'll get spotted and you'll move up the ranks easily. So it was a bit for the experience and then also just to kind of get on the field.
Man, it is quite the journey. You know, even at your age, you're right, it probably mightn't have been happening here for you in Australia, but you took that risk to go over to England with no guarantees. What was it like, the footy, living away from home for the first time? Because I know we're a very strong family and we stay together a lot, but what was it like moving away from home?
Yeah, that was pretty tough, especially those first few months, just like you're just by yourself the whole time, trying to make new mates and that. So it was pretty tough, yeah, but like you said, we're close family, so kept in touch with like mum and like called all the time and stuff, so they helped a lot in that transition process. But it's just, yeah, it's something I felt like I had to do and got through it after that first few months, and it was really enjoyable after that.
If you were to give any player that was in your or that is in your shoes any bit of advice on, you know, taking the leap, going overseas, having that experience, what bit of advice would you give to that person?
Just back yourself. Just be confident. Like, I think that's all I did. Like, I just knew that if I could play my footy, that I'd get picked up and like go further. So, it didn't matter what level I was playing. I just knew I had to put my best foot forward and just play my rugby and just do my thing and just back myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that level of footy, as you said, like even backing yourself in a competition, like it's quite a low level, but enjoyable. You know, watching some of the highlights, it did look like you were playing outside of a cow paddock. What did you learn from playing at that level and still having that aspirations where this is part of the pathway to get to where I want to go?
I think it's just like the love for the game, eh? Like you said, it was cow paddock, but I was just playing good rugby. The boys were good fun, and I was just loving it. Like, we're winning every week and that, so that obviously helps, but I was just loving playing rugby no matter where it was, if it was at a cow paddock or in front of 70,000 people in the World Cup. Yeah.
And then we're going to get to that World Cup journey. So from Seven Oaks, you get picked up by Division II club Coventry, you know, where it's more professional. You know, how did you find that transition from going to that to then all of a sudden it's almost like a full-time gig for you?
Yeah, it was full-time compared to, well, 10 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know, like, it was tough going from just Tuesday, Thursday afternoons to full-time, but I don't know, I felt like it was what I should have been doing, like, my whole career. So I felt like it was kind of easy. I was just loving it, just, like I said, loving playing rugby, and then, in fact, I got to do it all day, every day. It was quite easy.
Have you had any time to reflect on that England journey and, you know, about all the good times and some of the lessons that you did learn?
A little bit. To be fair, it's been quite hectic lately, like lots going on, but have reflected definitely from when I first started, like from Randwick through to West Harbour and Seven Oaks and Cov and that whole journey. It's been unreal, to be fair, but just kind of taking it as I go.
Awesome.
It's another lesson for anyone out there as well, that you're direction to where you want to go is not linear. It's going to go backwards, sideways, circles, and eventually if you stay persistent like Patrick has done,
yep,
you'll get there. And the moment, like, can you explain how was it like from going from Coventry to then representing Tonga?
That was pretty nerve-wracking, I reckon. That was going into that first tour, and like you're seeing that squad announced with some of those boys, Izzy, Charles, Malachi, and that was real nervous. And then rocked up, and first introduction to Malachi is like, "Oh yeah, you're my roomie." I was like, "Oh, no." I was like, oh shit, that was pretty nerve-wracking. But it was such a cool experience. They're real helpful, and obviously I don't speak much Tongan, so all those older boys like helped me quite a bit, which was good.
That would have been pretty cool, rooming with Mully. And I know he wouldn't have lived far from you in England when you were down at Coventry. My cousin lived down there as well, Lima Sopwanga, and every time we'd go down there, Malachi would always, you know, be around, or he'd pop in because Lima would be putting on a mad spread. And I just love those conversations with him because he's got that raw, still got that
high pitch, that high freshness,
still very fresh.
And I love those conversations. What was it like for yourself, you know, being roomies with Mully?
Yeah, I was like the new boy, so but like he was real welcoming. And we still stay in touch now quite a bit, to be fair. So he's always like giving me pointers, helping me, and yeah, so that's, yeah, he's been real good since I met him.
I was just telling T just before, I guess, we have Kef, Toto Kefu on every Friday, Phoenician Footy Fridays, and it's quite funny. So when I sent him that message about you in December 7th, 2022, I was like, "Hey, Kef, you should check out my cousin
because I know you're struggling for 5-8s there, fly halves. He's playing well in the championship. And then he goes, who for? I was like, Coventry. He watched those clips and he goes, are you sure he's Tongan? I was like, yeah, mate, he's Tongan. And then he replies back, is he keen? And I was like, well, he told me he's very keen. He wants to probably play at the World Cup. He goes, sweet, I'll inquire about it. Didn't hear anything from him until January 22nd, 2023. He goes, Sam, have you got the details for Patrick Pellegrini? So just with all that, in a nutshell, how you know, the introduction, and again, we went back to, you know, your identity, and like, are you sure he's Tongan? Did you have any doubts about putting on that red jersey? Not from a playing point of view, but more like, oh, am I Tongan enough to play in a Tongan jersey?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, like, you look at me and like you said, and look at my name and that, like, no one would ever think it's Tongan. So yeah, there was obviously like doubts and that, but I knew, like, I just, that's where family's from and that. So it didn't really matter. I just like I said, just back myself. I just, yeah, I really wanted to play for Tonga as well. So it was just something that also kind of came easy, but there was a lot of questions as well. But yeah, glad I did it in the end.
Are you close to your, or well connected to your Tongan culture?
Definitely more like since joining that Tonga tour. Like, we are, like Sammy said, close family, and we are quite connected with our like Tongan roots, but definitely since that Tonga tour, a lot more since then.
What were some things that you learned in camp that you thought connected you and brought you closer to your Tongan culture?
I think it's just like, just everything really. Just that whole culture, like, all like the, just the little meetings, the little, like the prayers every morning, like just simple stuff like that. The families coming around with the feeds, and just the speaking Tongan all the time, kind of just the whole mix of everything put together.
No, I totally understand, because it's not your usual, you know, rugby union or rugby league camps where you go in and it's focused on high performance, or, you know, you have the schedule where wake up, breakfast, training, recovery, do it all again the next day. There's always a cultural aspect to it. They do things different. And, yeah, it's one where you come out of them camps and you just feel like the time that you spent there and the boys that you played with, you understand where you come from. They're your brothers. They'll be your brothers for the rest of your life now. That's the reason why I asked that question. So it's really cool to hear.
What about also just like on that as well? I know it's probably a lot happening, but what about just like wearing your tupenu and tauvala, and then singing the hymns for the first time? Like, so what was that like for you? Did you have to try and learn by yourself? Did any of the boys help you with like the pronunciations or putting your tupenu on or anything like that?
Yeah, like I said, like, yeah, that was part of everything that, but I had my mum and aunties in there that helped put the tupenu on and all that kind of stuff. So, and then obviously with the hymns and that, kind of that was hard to learn, but just had it with me and the boys were helping me along the way. You do try and learn as much as you can, like before we go into that, like those hymns and those prayers and stuff, just so you're not doing nothing.
Was there a moment, I asked this question to a lot of our guests and the athletes, was there a moment during the camp or during your game where you felt, you know, overwhelmed and like that emotional, you could call it mana, some people call it mana, or, you know, the spirit comes in you, like just all of a sudden it just, you know, you start tearing up and you feel well connected to your culture, your Tongan heritage. Was there a moment for you?
Yeah, it could have been probably the anthem on my debut. To be fair, I was so like focused on the game, or even the Sipitau. I was so focused on like the game and stuff, I completely forgot like about the anthem, and I hadn't learned it. So I remember the night before, I'm trying to like, I'm reading it all through, like listening to it on YouTube and stuff. And yeah, but I think that one, like singing the anthem and the Sipitau against the Fiji in my debut was probably that's the main one.
Talk us through the nerves of the Sipitau. I know you would have been standing there, and I've been in that moment where you're thinking about like the anthem's playing, you're singing the anthem, but you know not long after, only in a couple minutes time, you have to go warrior mode and do the Sipitau. What was those nerves and those thoughts for yourself?
Oh, mate. That was more nervous than any game I've played at, during the Super Bowl. Every single time, definitely way more nervous. That first time was tough. You don't want to see like the video of me. That's nerve wracking that, but it was such a good experience and you learn like more, obviously, like the more you do it. But yeah, that was definitely more nervous than playing any rugby game I've ever played.
And the moment that you're speaking about the anthem, your debut, what was it like with the jersey presentation, having your mum and your aunties there presenting the jerseys for you, presenting your jersey for you?
Yeah, that was pretty emotional. Mum's pretty emotional normally, and then I am as well. But so that moment was, yeah, unforgettable. That was an unreal experience, just having all of them there, my cousins there and brothers as well. So that was an unreal moment. I'll never forget that one.
What were the boys spinning out that Mum and Eleanor, our auntie, you know, spoke Tongan as well, you know, saying to look after you, making sure the forwards look after you because you're small. But were the Tongan boys spinning out that your mum was quite fluent in Tongan?
Yeah, they were actually, a few of them actually said it to me after their little speech that they gave. Like, oh, man, they're really good. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even could speak that good. So I think everyone was kind of rapping out a bit, but no, yeah, I do remember that speech because I didn't understand anything they were saying. All the boys were laughing. That was good.
Sammy showed me the highlight reel of your amazing try in the World Cup, and you know, what was the reaction like off the back of that try from your family, from the teammates? What was that reaction like for yourself?
It was kind of surreal. The phone blew up quite a bit that night. Went back to the change rooms after, messages and everything. It was that was so cool. And then also had like my fam and that were there at that game. Well, mum and dad and brother. So that was also like, that was a massive bonus that they got to see that live. Then also support from like friends and then all the fam back home as well who were watching at like 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or whatever time it was. Got lots of videos of them going crazy in the living room. So that was so cool to come back after that try and see that.
Mate, because correct me if I'm wrong, you actually didn't make the initial World Cup squad, didn't you?
No, I wasn't in that World Cup squad. So I went back to Kov and was there. We had our Prem Cup. So I was playing against Saracens, actually, and we just beat them at our home ground. Then I got off the pitch then, and Kefu, I had a message from Kefu saying, oh, yeah, might need you to come in. So just beat Saracens and get off the pitch. Had that message waiting. I was buzzing after that.
Again, with that World Cup, you know, you mentioned the anthem, the Sipi Tau, all that, performing that, you know, against the world champion South Africa. Like, what was that like for you to come up against the incumbent champs and you're seeing some genuine superstars across from you, but you're there in your 5'2" frame trying to be intimidating through that Sipi Tau towards the South Africans? What was that like, being in that moment?
I kind of tried to like get behind some of the big boys. Yeah, no, but like they're just so big, eh? Like those South Africans, man. So it was, and like obviously I've watched Andre Pollard a lot kind of growing up. So like seeing him and then Willie LaRue and stuff, like that was kind of crazy. Just pinching yourself there. You're just sitting in the back of the Sipi Tau looking at Andre Pollard. Like I watched you and Willie, like, playing all your career, and like, that was pretty crazy. And then after like meeting them as well after the game, it's just a pinch me moment the whole time, eh?
It reminded me of when before the World Cup in 2013, we played a trial game against the Kiwis, and I led our Cook Island haka, and I remember doing the haka, and we're about to play this all-star Kiwis team. And where a lot of us are just like park footy players or new reserve grade players. But when you do the haka, it's like you all of a sudden become a giant and you've like got all this like power. You think that you could run or like run right through these men.
Yeah.
Did you get that feeling when you're doing the Sipi Tau? It's like you're all of a sudden backed by your ancestors, You feel like a giant, even though you're looking at guys that are double your size.
Yeah, I think I've always kind of felt that way as well. Like, even though I'm like the tiniest kid, I've always felt that, like, felt like I could run through anyone or like run around anyone or tackle anyone. But then, yeah, also on top of that, when doing the sippy towel with all those boys, like, you just feel, you feel mad, you feel just like powerful, you just feel unreal. Like, and then you get off and you feel like, oh yeah, let's go, like, ready, keen.
So playing alongside like Ben Tamefuna and Malachi Fekitoa, Charles Pirtau, like those type of players, did you feel that, oh, these boys have my back, my brothers are here, and that gave you that level of confidence to be able to execute when you came on the field?
Yeah, definitely. Those older boys were probably like more, kind of, not more welcoming, but they kind of helped you more than you would think. Like, you obviously, you're nervous coming in with these boys, but they really, like, Muller took me under his wing a lot and like kind of just giving you pointers the whole way. So like the whole time, yeah, you feel like they've always got your back no matter what. Yeah, definitely Muller as well.
Yeah, nice. What was it like, you know, best bit of advice or learning from playing alongside those guys that have helped you, that you've kept to help you become a better footy player, both on and off the field?
I think, like, rugby-wise, on and off the field was the big one, was, like, how much they, like, work you put in, not, like, analysing the game, I guess, and watching, like, opposition, watching film and stuff. That was a big thing I took away. It was, like, how much do I watch of, like, training back or the games on Saturday, or how much I'm watching of the upcoming team, like how many games have I reviewed of them. I think that was a massive one I took away. And then after that tour, like, kind of just every time watching training back, watching the next game, taking all that in, that it's not just what you do on the training pitch. If you just go train and then get off the pitch and do nothing, like, that's, you're just doing the bare minimum. So go to training, then after training, you know, doing more all the time.
And the second piece of that long question was, what was the, you know, the most memorable thing you want to take away by putting on that jersey and representing your family in the tiny island of Tonga?
Could pick up like number of them. First jersey presentation with all the aunties there, or singing the first anthem, or singing or scoring that try. But I think, like, having mum, dad, brothers there at the World Cup, like, to come all the way across the world to watch that was probably fondest memory, and having them there, like, after the games, and with it, like, all the families were together after our last game in the World Cup. Those are probably the best memories that I'll keep.
Nice, bro. What's next? What do you got planned?
We're currently just playing a shoot shield back with Gordon for the next few weeks, and just see what happens with Tonga. So I've been injured for a bit, but back now, they've got PNC coming up for Tonga. So, that'll be in the next month. And then, yeah, just take it week by week, day by day.
Hey, Patrick, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, to witness your journey right from the get-go, when you're in nappies to now, and just seeing you grow as a man and what you've achieved. From all of our family, it's just been humbling, and really proud of you, bro. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm just very proud that I've been a massive inspiration. No, I'm joking. No, I'm just honestly very proud as a big cousin to see what you're doing, and you're inspiring a lot of the other families to do well and keeping it going. So all the best with the rest of your rugby journey, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, guys.
Seth, great to have you on. Thank you, mate. That's our time up for today. You can listen back to any one of our podcasts wherever you get them from. Everyone, take care. See you Friday.
Toi whā.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.